As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? It's Bo here and X-Men 97. So if you're at all familiar with me or the way I, you know, well, let's just say review shows, you know, a big thing for me is about managed expectations. X-Men 97, for me personally, was something I was not looking forward to. Not because I didn't enjoy the original X-Men. On the contrary, I was a huge fan of the original X-Men. Like, in terms of like my nostalgia era, this is it. This is my nostalgia, right? I'm the target market for this show. Like, I remember the X-Men trading cards. I remember the cartoons. They were so like just condensed with comic book knowledge and stories that if you missed one week, you were totally lost and nothing made sense. But it didn't matter. You still showed up and you still watched and you still tried to pick up what was going on based on contact clues. Because at the end of the day, you were there for that mutiny goodness. And the fact that it was a cartoon that, as a kid anyway, it didn't talk down to you, but actually like expected you just to know what was going on. The themes were very deep and heavy. The comedy was light. The styling was very much of the era. And one of the best parts about it was a connected show. It was connected with Spider-Man the Animated Series, which at the time was my number one favorite animated show of all time. So yeah, I loved the 90s X-Men, and for that reason, I have not been looking forward to X-Men 97. This is such a sacred piece of shared collective art. Like, it doesn't matter who you talk to. It doesn't matter whether they hate everything new, or they love everything new, or they hate everything old, or they love everything old, or whoever they are. Every single person who has ever experienced the 90s X-Men cartoon loves it. So with something that beloved, doing anything with it is risky. High risk, in my opinion, especially in the modern era. And given that we're like post-Endgame MCU, we haven't exactly been dealing with the best stuff coming out of the MCU. Now, I've been an apologist, and admittedly so, for a lot of the shows, because I don't hold them to ridiculously high standards. But with something like this, there's just no way that this post-Endgame Marvel is going to go anywhere near meeting or exceeding fan expectations with the X-Men 90s cartoon. But they did. This series is awesome. Oh my gosh, from the moment the theme song starts playing, he just Now granted, you can look up the theme song and get those like nostalgic vibes, whatever, but something about it playing before an episode that you haven't seen yet, it gets you in the mood. Not only that, they're tripling down on 90s everything. Admittedly,
Jubilee said bestie once, and I had to Google search it to see if that word was in circulation, because I don't remember it being in circulation in the 90s, but apparently there's some debate as to whether or not it actually appeared in the 90s or not. If it was, it was the late 90s, and of course this series is taking place in the late 90s, so sure, okay, fine. But, oh, the 90s. It's 90s everywhere! By the way, how did, like, this style of aerobics wear become the de facto, hey, it's the 90s look? You know, I feel like we see this a lot, like, everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. Like, there were other styles in the 90s, but... You know what? Actually, let's just, yeah, okay, yoga bodysuit, whatever those things are. Yeah, we all wore those, fine. But in many respects, this thing is a grand slam of a hit with these first two episodes that have released. They're available now on Disney Plus. Highly recommend going to check them out. You will not be disappointed. Like, you can't be disappointed. It's so good. I mean, okay, there's like a couple things, not much, but like maybe a few things that we need to talk about. Okay, spoilers from this point on, and I'm just going to get this out of the way, but I'm assuming that Storm is headed for the first plane to Wakanda where she can start her new life as queen. That's just assuming that's going to be the case. And on top of that, we're going to see her back again, because if this was the only Storm we got in this series, that's a massive fail. Now I get it. They show it to us very early on. For what they are trying to do, Storm is way too overpowered to have around. I don't care. She was round fighting everything else, and she was round for years. She can be around for whatever Magneto's about to throw at the team or the world is about to throw at Magneto. I don't know where we're going to go with this. Anyway, point is, I want Storm back. I want her back now, unless you're about to make her Queen of Wakanda, in which case I still want her back. But she can be both. She can do both. All right. There's that. Second thing, and this is probably only a big deal to me, those are some trash beignets. I'm sorry. If Gambit's going to take the time to make some beignets, some New Orleans-style beignets, he's going to do it right. And if your beignets come out of the fryer looking like a Pop-Tart more so than a pillow, then you've got a problem. And where's the powdered sugar? You're going to let people just eat that right out the fryer? No powdered sugar at all? That's disgusting. Don't do that. There is a proper way to make beignets. There's the touristy way to make beignets. And there's the people that bought the beignet package and they brought it home and they made it for the first time. And you're telling me that Gambit is the third? No. But then finally, there's Morph. Now, Morph is a very interesting character because there's somebody that was impactful in the original series despite not actually being in the original series all that much. You meet Morph briefly, Morph dies, Morph is gone. The tragedy of losing Morph kind of shadows a lot of the characters, especially Wolverine, early on. Morph then comes back as a bad guy, but in kind of like a split personality sense where Mr. Sinister is doing all the things behind the scenes. And then finally, at the very tail end, as I'm kind of vaguely remembering, because I mean, you know, X-Men season 5, admittedly, you know, as beloved as the series was, season 5 was kind of the new animation, everything felt weird. Morph comes back and everything's great and the whole gang's back together and everybody's excited to see them. But we never really got a chance to know Morph, not really. So X-Men 97 provides that as well, you know, as seeing Morph in action. And during that first fight scene, I'm sitting back and, you know, we're getting all the little hero moments of, you know, Wolverine slashing and Gambit throwing the explosive things and Rogue, you know, doing her punches. And then, of course, you got Storm turning the freaking ground to glass. And the storms, it's awesome. And there's a moment, right? There's a moment where they're like circled around by all the giant Sentinel zombies and they're all like breathing hard. And I'm looking over there at Morph and I'm like, what did Morph do in all of this? Is he basically the Hawkeye with no arrows of the team? Now granted, okay, so technically they shapeshifted into like Angel, right? And flew in and saved the day, and that was really, you know, so there you go. There's that. But I didn't even piece together that was Morph when it happened, because I was unaware that Morph could mimic somebody's powers. Fun fact, they can't. Morph, that's not something that Morph can do. And I have a feeling that this is going to be a little bit of a point of contention throughout this season, because they have been very inconsistent in these last two episodes at what exactly is Morph's ability. So for clarity's sake, it's probably good to point it out. Morph is both shapeshifter and mimic. They can technically become anything, be it a fellow X-Man, an evil mutant, a senator, Charles Xavier, a tiny cat, a giant T-Rex. Like, technically, Morph can actually, well, morph into many different shapes, styles, and things. Doesn't have to be their exact body weight or mass or whatever the right technical term is here. Morph can become anything. And can technically gain the strength of whatever they're morphing into. So, for example, let's just go with a T-Rex. Let's say Morph turns into a T-Rex. It's going to have the strength of an actual T-Rex. Morph turns into, let's say, Colossus, gonna have the strength of Colossus. Morph turns into a Sentinel, which technically Morph could have done during the big battle thing, would have the strength of a Sentinel, or at least proportionately sized as such. But I think where things get weird is, like, turning into Colossus and then, like, Metal Colossus, but not having his metal skin and yet morphing into the metal skin. Like, taking on that blast the way that he did didn't feel right. Like, I'll give you turning into Angel and being able to fly because you got the wings. Like, that makes sense to me. But Morph isn't actually, like, turning their skin into metal. At least I don't think. Unless they change the power set. Which they could do. But that's not what it is. So anyway, all that to say, it felt off. I can't be the only one that also thought, like, wait. like Morph can't turn into adamantium. In fact, I thought about this specifically, especially with the new look. It's kind of got a whole Metamorpho thing going. Metamorpho, of course, from DC Comics, able to turn his body into a lot of different elements. So theoretically, if Metamorpho existed in the Marvel universe, Metamorpho actually could, turn his body into adamantium. Morph can't do that. Morph can't transform into adamantium, even though I believe we've actually seen them become Wolverine with the claws, but those aren't adamantium claws, nor are they metal claws. They're just morph claws. They could probably cut with a similar sharpness, but they wouldn't be able to withstand what adamantium could withstand. Are you tracking me here? It's weird. And it's going to be a fine line to see how they walk that. We're not dealing with Peter Petrelli here. But they might make Morph Peter Petrelli. I don't know. We'll see. Overall, I think this series so far is a hit. I cannot wait to see what they do with this. I'm like, oh my goodness. Wednesday is the new Saturday morning. It is nostalgia time. Wake up early with your Cap'n Crunch. It's going to be a blast. So I'm looking forward to it. Let me know what you thought about the first two episodes. How do you think they're going to handle Morph's powers? Put it in the comments. Let's talk about it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.